The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to your weekly dose of heart and soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance with your host, Jory Fisher. Jory and her guests will inspire you to discern your life's purpose and make a positive difference in the world around you. Now, here's Jory Fisher.
Welcome to Heart and Soul. I'm Jory Fisher, your host, and joining us today, December 9th, 2009, is the Reverend Dr. Gordon T. Smith, speaking to us from Main Island, British Columbia. We'll be discussing theological responses to work and vocation and why it is that we long to make a difference in our families, communities, and world. I'd like to thank Voice America for the opportunity to host this show on the Internet's number one talk station, and thank my listeners for tuning in to another edition of Heart and Soul, Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Perseverance. Would you please email me at jory@joryfishercoaching.com. If you or someone you know would like to advertise your business or cause in Heart and Soul, Voice America Variety would be happy to customize a package for you that would fit your advertising needs and that would reach out to thousands of listeners. So why a show on purpose, passion, and perseverance? Number one, because I want you to be encouraged by people who are purposefully doing their part to make a meaningful difference in the lives of others. Number two, because I want to assure you that you have a unique reason for being on this earth. And number three, because of my life purpose, which is to shepherd seekers who hunger and thirst to find, follow, and fulfill their divine calling, so they may faithfully serve others with confidence, integrity, passion, courage, and joy. I invite you to listen to my archived episodes and to email me at jory@joryfishercoaching.com if you would like to receive notices of upcoming shows. And now it is my honor and privilege to introduce you to Dr. Gordon T. Smith, author of Courage and Calling, Embracing Your God-Given Potential. Dr. Smith has authored several other books as well, including Listening to God in Times of Choice and The Voice of Jesus, Discernment, Prayer, and the Witness of the Spirit. He is the president of Resource Leadership International, an agency that seeks to foster excellence in theological education in the developing world, and he has served as the vice president and academic dean of Regent College in Vancouver, Canada, as dean of Canadian Theological Seminary in Ontario, Canada, and as dean of Alliance Biblical Seminary in the Philippines. Dr. Smith, who has held numerous teaching and pastoral appointments, specializes in the areas of systematic and spiritual theology with a particular focus on the theology of religious experience. A very warm welcome to you, Gordon.
Oh, good to be with you today.
Appreciate it. You suggested that we entitle this episode of Heart and Soul, Navigating the Transitions of Life, Seeking Wisdom for Life and Work. It makes me wonder, have you encountered many seekers in your lifetime?
I think I've been involved in what seems to me at least to have been countless conversations about people at some kind of a transition in their life in which they're trying to find meaning to their life and find meaning to their work. But as often as not, it's not just a matter of meaning, it's a matter of sanity. They feel overwhelmed by their choices or their lack of choices, by the changes in their economic circumstances or in the economy of the world, and they're longing for some kind of clarity, some kind of purpose, some meaning, some sanity to their lives, particularly their work lives.
Well, I would imagine that with the economic situation being the way it is now, you're probably having even more conversations. Would that be correct?
Well, perhaps, although my sense is that over the last 10, 20 years that I've been involved with people along these kinds of conversations or along these kinds of lines, I'm not sure it's any more now than it has been. But yes, it probably does get heightened when you have a more volatile economy.
Exactly. Well, why do you think there is such an interest in this whole question of of meaning, of vocation, of work and career? What is it that compels people to ask questions around those areas?
I think as much as anything, people have moved away from a propensity to ask solely the pragmatic question about work. That is, how can I pay the bills? And however important it is for us to pay the bills and be pragmatic, people are longing for a sense of purpose, of meaning to their work, and realizing that they only have one life to live, and so how can one be a good steward of it? I say that I'm well aware of the number of people in midlife who hate their jobs and cling to them largely out of, I think, an illusion about financial security, but cling to jobs they hate rather than seeking to discern, even if there is involved a financial risk, seeking to discern what they could and should be called to do.
Well, now let's talk about specifically vocation, work, career, because I know you're going to be using those terms throughout this conversation today. How do you distinguish those three terms?
And it's important to do so, especially between vocation and career. I think it's important to distinguish. Oftentimes those are assumed to be synonymous, and while it is helpful sometimes to use the language of career, to ask what is the primary expression of my work, say in my case as an academic administrator, in time I'm going to retire from a career that I have chosen, perhaps that I have crafted over a lifetime of work, but vocation speaks of something far deeper, far broader, but most significantly something that is given to us by God that we can't ultimately retire from. And when people are locked into a career, when it does come time to retire, perhaps, though not necessarily, in their mid to late 60s, vocation continues. And that's when it's so crucial to say, I've retired from my career, perhaps, but now I still need to discern, what is my vocation? What is God calling me to do with the next chapter of my life?
So really, it's never too late to discern your vocation.
Oh, T.S. Eliot has a quote somewhere. I don't recall how it went, but yes, exactly along that line, that with God there's no wasted time, and at each stage of life, including our senior years, we can and must and should ask the question, what is God calling me to do with this chapter of my life, indeed?
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, good. The first sentence in your book, you say, God calls people. And that is the first sentence in your book, Courage and Calling, Embracing Your God-Given Potential. Would you please explain what you mean by calling and how that relates to the word vocation?
Yes, a good question. I'm using them synonymously. The language of vocation and the language of calling are synonymous in that the assumption is that the work that we do on this day or on any given day is done in response to the initiative of the one who calls or who beckons, who initiates, in a sense, our work. Christian spirituality, as has often been noted, Judeo-Christian spirituality, is a spirituality of response, and it's a response to the initiative of God. And so we assume that the work we do, whether it's simple and mundane and ordinary, or grand and heroic and seemingly meaningful or more meaningful, that it's done in response to the initiative of God. And so we use the language of calling or vocation to indicate that we're doing it in response to what God has called us to do.
Well, of course, throughout the centuries, the word calling, the word vocation, has had different meanings. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, it is important that we recognize that, because there are many within the Christian religious tradition, I think more so perhaps, well, I was going to say on the Catholic side, maybe not, but not more so, that is, but oftentimes you'll hear people ask, do you have a vocation? And that kind of language, when it's used within Roman Catholic circles, often assumes a vocation is that God has called you to some kind of religious work. But you'll find it in both Protestant evangelical as well as Roman Catholic circles, the assumption that if you have a vocation or a calling, it's a calling to religious work. And I think what is urgent is that we recover a broad appreciation that all manner of life and work can be in response to the calling of God, and that God calls people into every sphere and sector of society. And what makes it sacred is not because it's religious, but precisely because one does it in response to the calling of God.
And am I correct that Martin Luther was one of the first persons to really make that distinction, that you do not, that calling does not mean specifically to ordain ministry, to being a monk or a nun, that really, as you were saying, any work that we do, if it's a response to God's call, is indeed your calling, your vocation. Is that right?
Well, it is true, but Martin Luther was not unique in that century. The 16th century was really one of the grand accomplishments of the century was to recognize that God is at work in the world and that we need to discern God's work in the world that's found in a wide diversity of expressions, religious and otherwise. And I fear that in many respects, even the heirs to Luther have not fully appreciated the significance of what he said.
Mm-hmm. Well, wonderful. What suggestion, before we take a break here, what suggestion would you have if somebody were trying to discern their calling? And of course, that will be something we'll speak to throughout this show here today. But is there any one message that you would like to give right now?
I think to open one's eyes, to have a broad vision of what God is doing in the world, and thus perhaps a wide breadth of imagination about how God could be calling you to participate in the kingdom purposes of God in the world, to not have an overly limited perspective in that regard.
And especially with young people, would that be right? I know you speak to that in your book. Would you say something about that, please?
Well, I think when young people are trying to discover who they are, what they may be called to do, that oftentimes they're part of religious communities, church communities perhaps, that have a very narrow conception of what brings glory or blessing or pleasure to God. And so oftentimes need to be in circumstances or communities in which they are encouraged to have a broad perspective, a broad imagination of what God may be doing.
So really, I have three daughters, and I have three stepdaughters and one stepson. So maybe the best thing that I could do would be to encourage them to get maybe a wide smattering of experience in which they could. Is that right?
Yes, certainly. Mm-hmm. As they test the waters, so to speak, and find out what is most deeply congruent with their own heart, their own passion, their own, if I may put it this way, sense of call. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good message to hear, Gordon, because so many people seem to think there's kind of a sense of panic, young people, and it's like, oh my gosh, I've got to figure out what I'm going to do right now. You know, what am I going to do with this particular degree? You know, should
right.
If I pick a grad school, it has to be, you know, in the occupation that I'm going to have for the rest
right.
of my life. And really, that's not what you're saying, is it?
Oh, and I often try to stress that God leads one step at a time. We can't see around the corner, so as best we can, we choose now. But who knows what this may lead to? How many people do we know who are involved in occupations or roles or responsibilities in their mid to late 50s that they could never have envisioned in their 20s? It was just no way to envision it. But they did what they were called to do in their 20s, and one thing led to another. And God, who is a God of wonderful surprises, oftentimes as we come around the bend, has been preparing us for something that we could never have anticipated. We couldn't see it coming. The other thing is, though, that Parker Palmer notes that some people feel locked into something that they did in their 20s. Perhaps they
right.
did medical work, and they feel locked into it, and that becomes almost tragic, rather than saying, nope, that's what I felt I should do, but now that I have turned this corner, I'm mm-hmm. not going to feel overly obligated to an earlier chapter of my life when I couldn't fully appreciate who I was and may mm-hmm. have made some choices to please my parents.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I may have gone into medical work or legal studies or something else to please my parents. But now as I get some distance on that and them, I may well go another direction.
Oh, that's wonderful and very liberating.
Indeed.
Right now, Gordon, we need to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to discuss three expressions or aspects of vocation and how vocation changes or evolves through the various stages of an adult's life. This is your host, Jory Fisher, broadcasting from Lynchburg, Virginia, and my guest, Gordon T. Smith, speaking to us from British Columbia. Stay tuned.
News. Opinion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you long to make a difference in the lives of others? Do you feel called to something different but don't know what? If you're feeling discouraged and off purpose, consider Jory Fisher and Associates. Jory is a certified life and career coach who's trained in Tim Kelly's True Purpose Process. Her clients are professional men and women who seek meaningful work opportunities that will allow them to support their family, maintain a healthy lifestyle, and make the difference they're designed to make. Jory would love to help you find, follow, and fulfill your divine calling so that you may faithfully serve others with confidence, integrity, passion, and joy. She can help you discern your true purpose and discover how you're meant to fulfill that purpose in the marketplace. Imagine the joy and confidence you'd have knowing that you're doing what you're specifically designed to do. For more information, visit JoryFisher.com or send an email to Jory at JoryFisherCoaching.com. Jory offers specialized coaching to women, clergy, and legal professionals, so visit JoryFisher.com today.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to Jory at JoryFisherCoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. You've been listening to author and theologian Gordon T. Smith discuss humanity's avid interest in work, vocation, and career. We also began our discussion of calling, what it means to be called of God. Gordon, you talk about the three expressions or aspects of vocation in your book, Courage and Calling. Would you please explain what they are?
Well, I find it helpful when we use the language of vocation to recognize that on some fundamental level, my identity as a Christian is in response to the calling of God, and that it's simple and it's powerful language that I and many others, millions of others, choose to be followers of Jesus because they believe that Jesus has called them to be a learner, a disciple, a believer. And so we think of the language, we use the language of vocation, and rightly so, I think, to speak of the calling to be a Christian. And it's a general call that's actually given to all. All men and women are invited to be followers of Jesus. I also, though, think it's helpful on any given day to ask the question, what am I being called to do today? What would God have me do? And it may be something very mundane, very ordinary, maybe attending to the needs of my children or grandchildren or my father or my mother, just what needs to be done today. And that's, I don't want to discount or diminish the importance of just getting up in the morning and then perhaps entering into one's day with a sense of, for this day, this is what I need to do in response to God's call. But where we're focusing our primary agenda or attention in this conversation is what might be spoken of as the specific call of God is, I am a steward of my life and a steward of the gifts and abilities and joys and passions that God has given to me. How is my life being called to make a difference? Not so much today, but over the trajectory of my life, and particularly perhaps of the next chapter of my life, the one that's emerging. And however valuable it is to talk about vocation with respect to my Christian identity, I do need to ask, how is God calling me in specifically to fulfill my Christian identity in this world and at this time, and to realize the particularity of that. God has called me, particularly me, to this particular time and place, and how. How can I fulfill that identity and that purpose?
So you indeed believe, as I do, that each of us is created with a specific reason for being here on Earth.
I'm convinced of it, and I'm convinced that the primary witness to that is not so much the Scriptures, although perhaps we could speak about a verse here or there, but that primarily we recognize this as witness to in the human heart, that when you talk to people, you realize that that people aren't generically similar to one another, but that every person has a unique sense of identity and call and purpose. And I've just grown in my realization that, my goodness, this has been given to them by God. And what can we do to empower and free people to hear that and respond to it?
Wow. So that would help explain why we long to make a difference in this world. Is that right?
I think it's a huge craving. We've been wired this way. When it goes right back to the genesis of humanity, the way in which we were created by God, God's very self is one who creates and then stands back and takes delight and pleasure in what God himself has created. And in similar fashion, we've been created in the image of God to make a difference. So that longing is not hubris or pride or arrogance. It's just something in the way we've been wired, created. It's part of what it means to be human. So work then.
Well,
work then is not part of the curse, but part of the way in which we fulfill our identity as human beings.
I was going to say I think that also is very liberating, because I know for many people, and I include myself in this, there's this real longing to make a difference, but then you find yourself asking, well, you know, what is that? Am I just trying to be famous, like Mother Teresa is famous or something?
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like what you're saying is no, it's not really hubris. It's not just being consumed to a self. It's a longing that God placed inside each of our hearts.
And part of being a faithful follower of God is to be a steward of the life that God has given to me. So, and it may well be, and here's the key, am I willing to do what God is calling me to do, even if I do it in absolute obscurity, not heroically, not famously, but simply faithful to who I am in God's call. And it may be done very quietly, with very little recognition, but I do it ultimately because I feel that this is what I'm called to do.
It's similar to praying in our closets instead of making a big deal.
Right? That's right. That's right.
Wow. Well, how does another big topic here is how does our concept of vocation evolve as we go through life?
Well, I think it is important here to recognize that we have, I think we're deeply indebted in the conversation about vocation, career, and work, and especially this question about how it evolves and matures, develops, is to recognize our indebtedness to adult developmental theorists. I, for example, find huge value reading Carol Levinson, Eric Erickson, James Fowler, and others who talk about our early adult years as a time of differentiation or of trying to be other than who our parents are. And for people in their 20s, that's typically the biggest question they need to ask vocationally. Will I be my own person, or will I simply fulfill the expectations of parents or a religious community? In midlife, it seems to me the biggest question is, will I embrace the strength that God has given to me, and will I graciously accept my limits? That is, will I live in illusion about myself or in pretense, or will I graciously accept who I am, both my strengths and my limits, and live within them eagerly, not fatalistically, but eagerly? And I'm convinced that in our senior years, the biggest question is going to be, will we graciously let go of power and influence and be a source of blessing and wisdom to the next generation? There will be changes in our senior years, but it isn't that we don't have a vocation. It's just that it's going to have a different expression, and typically it will not be because we control organizations or people or have power, but because we know how to be a source of influence through blessing and shared wisdom.
And I keep hearing you say graciousness, and you know that we need to have the right attitude as we go through life. That's so important.
Okay.
Well, what is the greatest threat to whether a person will fulfill their vocation?
Well, it's different for different people, I suspect. I think for some, as I've been implying, they live an illusion about themselves. They don't live faithful to their own identity. They wish they were somebody other than who they are. I think for others, it's going to be because they have too narrow a conception of what God is doing in the world, and so they can't imagine what God may be calling them to do. That would be an obstacle. I think for others, they get distracted by misguided motives, whether it's a desire for financial security or wealth or for prestige or for power. All of that can so easily distract a person. Oftentimes, the obstacle is that they cannot live. They live out of fear, fear that they will not fulfill somebody else's expectations and therefore be disappointing their parents or disappointing others. But probably, in fact, many people attest to this, that for all of us on some level, the greatest threat to the fulfillment of our vocation is fear. And thus the real question is, well, there's two questions. One, do I know what I'm called to do? But then the follow-up question, will I have the courage to do it?
So all of those threats that you mentioned really boil down to the one of fear.
I think that's the bottom line.
Okay. And so when you mention courage, what you're saying is that it really takes courage to pursue our vocation, to be all who we are called to be.
That's the question I will often have. Do you know what you're called to do? And then the follow-up question, will you have the courage to do it?
Well, I want to read this one quote from your book on page 123 of Courage and Calling. It takes courage to pursue our vocation, the courage to be true to who we are, even if it means living on the edge, living with risk, living with less security and less influence and less power. Because to pursue our vocation means that we have chosen the way that is true to who we are, true to ourselves, and true to our call. Gordon, I have to tell you, that brings tears to my eyes.
I chuckle as I hear you read it, because the book is entitled Courage and Calling. But when I first submitted the manuscript, I emphasized that it should be called Calling and Courage, because the first question is, what's my calling? And the second, will I have the courage to do it?
Right.
But they said, no, it doesn't sound right. We're going to go with Courage and Calling, even if logically it doesn't follow. But those are the two crucial questions.
Well, of course, I'm chuckling now that I have tears in my eyes and you're chuckling. But hey, you know, those are the ups and downs of life. There you have it right there.
Indeed.
Okay, so courage is clearly something that is very important to you, and that is something that you have done. Can you give us an example from your life, if you don't mind, of how you have had to just gear up and muster up all the courage that you can have to accomplish something in your walk?
Well, I think for me, the most recent transition, I was the dean at Regent College in Vancouver, and the question I had was, would I have the courage to let go of a secure, established academic appointment, one that I had enjoyed, reveled in, was very glad to have? Would I let that go when I had this inkling, this premonition, that indeed it was time to choose that chapter and embrace a new chapter to my own life? As it turned out, I entered into a small, risky operation, one that has been very gratifying. But the question I needed to have back then was, would I have the courage to let go of something established and more secure financially and otherwise? And it's not so much a matter of whether I could muster up the courage. It's whether I had a confidence in God, that God indeed was calling me to do this and would look out for me, would cover my backside. But also, I'm deeply grateful for the intimate group of friends and spiritual mentors who not so much told me, you should do this, but who encouraged me to do what I knew I was being called to do. And I can't imagine navigating these transitions alone. We all need a group of intimate friends and spiritual counselors and mentors who believe in us and love us and equip and empower us to do what we know we're being called to do.
Well, I'm sure you've had a similar experience as I've had. I have to give a lot of credit to my husband, and I'm sure you need to give a lot of credit to your wife, Joella. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Oh, without her. I mean, I would not be here without her. And she's the one who has refused to allow questions of financial security or prestige or the like to muddy the waters, but to bracket those out, to set them aside, and to ask the core question, Who am I? What must I do? How do we do this if we don't have those kinds of friends or spouses who encourage us along the way?
I don't know how people manage without that kind of support. I really don't. Well, great. Well, right now, Gordon, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And after we come back, we'll discuss the most crucial question in discerning or determining our vocation. This is Jory Fisher, your host, and my guest, Gordon T. Smith, from Main Island, British Columbia. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you long to make a difference in the lives of others? Do you feel called to something different but don't know what? If you're feeling discouraged and off purpose, consider Jory Fisher and Associates. Jory is a certified life and career coach who's trained in Tim Kelly's True Purpose Process. Her clients are professional men and women who seek meaningful work opportunities that will allow them to support their family, maintain a healthy lifestyle, and make the difference they're designed to make. Jory would love to help you find, follow, and fulfill your divine calling so that you may faithfully serve others with confidence, integrity, passion, and joy. She can help you discern your true purpose and discover how you're meant to fulfill that purpose in the marketplace. Imagine the joy and confidence you'd have knowing that you're doing what you're specifically designed to do. For more information, visit JoryFisher.com or send an email to Jory@JoryFisherCoaching.com. Jory offers specialized coaching to women, clergy, and legal professionals, so visit JoryFisher.com today.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to Jory@JoryFisherCoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul. You've just heard author and theologian Gordon Smith explain why we long to make a difference and how our concept of vocation evolves as we go through life. Now, Gordon, I'd like to ask you, what do you consider the most crucial question in discerning or determining one's vocation?
If we say that the greatest threat to the fulfillment of our vocation is whether we'll have the courage to do it, the prior question is, do I know my vocation? And all of the literature points this way, the whole conversation points this way, that my vocation is deeply congruent with my identity. And thus, the most crucial issue in vocational discernment is self-knowledge. Do we foster within ourselves and within our communities the capacity for people to take an honest, or to use the language of Paul in Romans 12:3, a sober look at ourselves and to see ourselves truthfully? That is, to not live an illusion about who we are, but to know ourselves well, to know our gifts, our passions, our deep joys, to be able then to do work in the world that is deeply congruent with who we are. The biggest question then is the question of self-identity.
Well, how do we even go about finding that? I mean, I have some suggestions, but I'd love to hear what you have to say on that.
Well, and I'm eager to hear your comeback on this. I think we need to just foster the capacity for honesty and humility. I mean, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, great saints in the history of the church, spoke of knowing oneself as the act of humility. To not wish that I was anybody other than who I am, but to be able to name myself truthfully. And I think it comes by asking honest questions of ourselves. Again, not who I wish I was, but who I am. But I can't, like we said in the, before the break, I can't imagine doing that without good conversation with others, allowing others to tell us how they see us, how they respond to us, how they perceive our contribution to the world. So it's not just a matter of filling out a form. It's not just a matter of asking, what do we do well? But it's a matter of probing. If I ask myself, not what should I feel, but what do I feel? Mm. Not what should I do, but what do I have a passion to do? Not where should I feel joy, but where do I feel joy? I think we foster the capacity for good self-knowledge.
Oh, that's wonderful. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So really, in summary, what we're looking for is we need to be seeking congruence between our vocation and our true identity, not the identity that we think we should have because our parents say so or society says so, but rather congruence between vocation and our true identity.
And I think for some, it's a matter of going back and recognizing that our family systems often sometimes parents had huge desires for their children that were a kind of an imposition, almost like an oppressive expectation. And I bless those parents who recognize that if they have more than one child, that those two children are very, very different and may well engage their world in very different ways. But so many parents assume that their children are going to be extensions of their own desires or aspirations, and that becomes, I use the word advisedly, oppressive. So one place to begin is to ask, did my family system actually encourage me to be true to my own identity, or was there an implicit, perhaps explicit, agenda or assumption about what I would do in the world? The number of young men I've met who, you know, their father was a banker, their grandfather was a banker, they're going to be a banker. The number of people in the medical profession who are only in the medical profession because their parents were in the medical profession. And so there's these huge expectations out of family systems.
Absolutely.
So that, for me, I think the 20s are a crucial transition time. And it's essential, in a sense, to get some distance from our family systems, from our parents, and begin to test the waters and not be fearful of failure, because failure becomes an opportunity to grow, to learn, to discover who I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm thinking of several examples that my children bring home to me, just telling me about, you know, oh, mommy, I feel so bad, really wants to be a musician, but his parents want him to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I hear more and more stories like that, and it's just really sad. But I totally agree with you that we need to be true to ourselves and follow our own identity, and, of course, with reason. I mean, we have our ego helps keep us safe and protect us, God working through our ego, of course, and our conscious mind, and so we need to make rational decisions, yes, but ones that actually fit with who our true identity is. Well, I'd like to move a little bit into our commitments, our obligation to society. I'm thinking of Frederick Buechner's quote here, "The place God calls you to is a place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." Gordon, I know that's an important quote to you. It's in your book. What does that mean to you?
Well, I think it's a quote that has captured the imaginations of many, many of us who talk about vocation, work, and career, but many people have recognized that in his very simple statement, and yes, of course, he could be challenged as saying, no, that's too simplistic, but oftentimes great wisdom comes in simple declarations like that one that recognize that vocation comes at the interplay between a particular individual and a particular set of circumstances or a particular situation in the world, so that vocation is never generic. It's never generic either to the person. It's always particular to this person and their identity, their gifts, their passion, their calling, their joy, but it's also particular to a time and place. And I think it's crucial here, then, that we recognize that we are called not to the world as we wish it were, but to the world as it actually is. And so we're not nostalgic to a previous time in the history of humanity or in the history of this organization or this church or this society or this community, but asking the question, at this time and place, in the midst of these circumstances, how is God calling me? And it may well be that, you know, we were a gifted pianist, but now our hands have been, by illness or accident, we can no longer play the piano. I think we can still ask the question, What is my deep joy? Who am I? And what is the world around me? What is its shape and its character and its need? And how am I being called in light of who I actually am now to this world as it actually is now?
So whether we're broken or the world is broken, and of course both possibilities exist, we can still live out our vocation and serve.
Well, I think it's crucial on both fronts to say we're not locked into the past. Whatever may have happened in the past, all of that, however good or bad that may have been, I take my actual life as it is now, with all of its joys and sorrows, with all of its circumstances, with all of its limits, and ask, who am I and how is God calling me to engage the world that has been created, that is in front of me? And then also to say, I may wish my circumstances were different, but nothing's gained by that kind of wishful thinking. It's what is
right.
Actually the case. And so the President of the United States says, I may wish I had a different set of circumstances, but this is the circumstances into which I'm called. And rather than bemoaning fate, embracing it, saying, okay, will I rise to this challenge?
And, of course, there are individuals that stand out. Johnny Erickson Tada comes to mind, who was just diving when she was a teenager and broke her neck and has been a paraplegic ever since. But she's gone on to have a beautiful, beautiful ministry and touch the lives of thousands. We all know people.
Yeah, and I've been recently impressed by watching the journey of Michael J. Fox. Came down with Parkinson's disease, and his gracious response to the limitations that's created, and I'm very taken by the joy and engagement with his world that there seems to be not an edge or an ounce of bitterness that's evident in his life and work now.
That's something. What a remarkable man. Well, we've talked about how vocation relates to brokenness, vocation relates to joy or gladness, vocation relates to what's in our hearts and to our gifts and our talents. And we've also talked about, earlier we were talking about how it's important to know ourselves. And I just want to ask you, because you talk about it in your book, how helpful do you think it is to know, say, our personality types, our type preferences, by taking something like Myers-Briggs, for example?
Well, there's, as you know, there's different ways in which one can kind of get a good read on one's own propensities, one's own personality or identity, one's way of being in relationship and in the world. I, for one, and there are many others, of course, who have found the MBTI, the Myers-Briggs Temperament Inventory, to be extraordinarily helpful. I guess perhaps coming out of my family system where a good person acted in a particular way, the MBTI gave me the freedom to be to be myself. To accept both the proclivities, not sinful, but just the proclivities. This is how I have been wired. And to not not bemoan that or try to live in a way that is other than who I am. But I found the MBTI profoundly liberating and helpful to explain how I, and I could say the same about my wife and my children and so on, how I am inclined or and designed by God inclined to respond to my world. And I found it helpful also vocationally to realize that likely my vocation is somehow congruent with the way in which my personality has been wired by God.
Well, I have to say I had the good fortune of being trained in Myers-Briggs, and it was a week-long training, and it was not a necessarily spiritual group of people. I mean, it was just people who, a lot of whom worked in colleges and universities, law schools, who wanted to be trained in it. But as I went through the experience, I got to know them really well, and I just found all of this to be profoundly spiritual. And I came away thinking, oh my gosh, of course God designed our personality.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Why would he ignore that when he's designed everything else so beautifully? So I agree with you, and I'm glad we're on the same page as far as that goes. Well, right now, we're going to take one more break, Gordon, and when we come back, we'll discuss what it means to think vocationally and to be all you are called to be. This is Jory Fisher, your host, broadcasting from Lynchburg, Virginia, and my guest, Gordon T. Smith, joining us from British Columbia. You're listening to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. Stay tuned.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Each week, take a visit inside the locker room of your favorite sport with Dez Clark, Paul Fresh Clark, and Lester Scudder Davis as they bring you sportsmanlike conduct. As a current player, Dez Clark can bring you inside the sports world like nobody can. His co-hosts represent the fans of the sports world. With both points of view on the table, it becomes an engaging and entertaining program, to say the least. Sportsmanlike Conduct can be heard Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you long to make a difference in the lives of others? Do you feel called to something different but don't know what? If you're feeling discouraged and off purpose, consider Jory Fisher and Associates. Jory is a certified life and career coach who's trained in Tim Kelly's True Purpose Process. Her clients are professional men and women who seek meaningful work opportunities that will allow them to support their family, maintain a healthy lifestyle, and make the difference they're designed to make. Jory would love to help you find, follow, and fulfill your divine calling so that you may faithfully serve others with confidence, integrity, passion, and joy. She can help you discern your true purpose and discover how you're meant to fulfill that purpose in the marketplace. Imagine the joy and confidence you'd have knowing that you're doing what you're specifically designed to do. For more information, visit JoryFisher.com or send an email to Jory@JoryFisherCoaching.com. Jory offers specialized coaching to women, clergy, and legal professionals, so visit JoryFisher.com today.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Heart and Soul, created and hosted by Jory Fisher. To participate in today's program, call us at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you wish, you may also send an email to Jory@JoryFisherCoaching.com. Now, back to Heart and Soul, reflections on passion, purpose, and perseverance.
Welcome back to Heart and Soul on the Voice America Variety Channel. You've been listening to author, educator, and theologian Gordon T. Smith. In this last segment of the show, we're discussing the power of thinking vocationally, as well as how we can become all we are called to be. Gordon, you urge us to quote-unquote think vocationally in your book. What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, it's a way of engaging our life and work with a sense of that it's an intentional response to God. That is, can I say that everything I do is in response to the initiative of God, and that I engage my world, whether it's this simple mundane task or a more heroic task, as an act of response? I think that's a crucial piece of vocational thinking, but I broaden it really to take in everything we've been talking about, that the work we do is congruent with our identity, for example, that the work we do is done as an act of service and generosity towards others, as another example. But all of the things we are talking about are a way of thinking, not in terms of career and getting ahead, but in terms of engaging our world as those who respond to the initiative of God.
Gordon, I have to say, as a mom, and I did stay home with my children for 4 years or so, I would love to have you address people who may be listening to this recording who are home with their children or maybe taking care of their parents, and they're feeling like, oh my gosh, my career is racing past me. I loved what you said earlier about mentioning how the immediate, we may be called to the immediate, and that is also a part of our vocation. So what message would you have for people who, in a way, at least it's the way the world might look at it, they're putting their career on hold? What form of encouragement can you give them?
Well, it's interesting to me. I've read a number of authors, particularly authors within, say, within feminist perspectives, who are very skeptical about language of career that implies that I can kind of step out of my career at any given time, but realize that everything contributes towards what God is calling me to do, so that in my case, I've raised two teenage males, And this has been an invaluable experience and has deeply shaped who I am and what I'm called to do now. So that, in a sense, everything counts. But also, when we place our hands, our lives, pardon me, in the hands of God, we can let go of perhaps this particular work or responsibility or even this opportunity because we sense, no, for right now, I'm called to raise these children. I'm called to care for this elderly parent. Or I'm called to respond to this opportunity along the way. Because we can't see the big picture, we trust our lives to God and then do what's before us that we sense this is indeed something that God has called me to do without bemoaning the loss for the simple reason that we can't see the big picture. We can't see where it's going to lead.
So follow our heart and of course, stay in connection with God and know that the big picture is something, you know, it's like you've heard the example of a beautiful, a quilt, you know, something that it
a
all
tapestry.
Comes together. That's the word, tapestry,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It all comes together at the end, and it's so beautiful, but we can't really see what's going on as it's being woven.
Precisely. I think the older we get, the greater our capacity to look back and realize we could never have seen where we are now way back then, and we just needed to quite literally trust God and take in our lives and our work one step at a time.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. What, if you haven't already mentioned this before sufficiently, what would you say the Judeo-Christian tradition contributes to this conversation?
Oh, where to begin? I think on the one hand, there is a sense in which it's not a self-constructed life. I'm not building a life or building a career, but I'm doing my work in response to the initiative or calling of God. So that's a huge piece. And even if a person doesn't want to use the language of God, at least on some level, to recognize that there is a higher being who empowers, equips, creates, and gives us good work to do. I think, on the other hand, another piece, pardon me, from that tradition is the realization that work is good and not a curse. And so for me, it makes no sense for somebody in the Jewish or Christian tradition to say, thank God it's Friday. To the contrary, work is good, and we embrace Sabbath or we embrace rest. We disengage from work, but not because work is a curse and oppressive, but rather because it is fitting to set it aside because our work is a gift from God, but then to take it up again, whether it be Monday or wherever we take it up again, to take it up again is a gift that is given to us and to not take for granted the joys and the sorrows that come in our work. So I think secondly is to realize that work is good. I think also the Judeo-Christian tradition recognizes that there's going to be difficulty for the Christian, for example, to speak of bearing our cross in our work, and that when there is difficulty, it's not because somehow there's a curse, but the realization that even in the pain and the suffering of our work, there is redemptive value, there is purpose. So those are just the samplers of the kinds of things that I think emerge from this tradition.
And that line of thought may continue into my next question. You devote an entire chapter of your book to, quote-unquote, working with and within organizations. What suggestions do you have for somebody who's working in an organization that's going through change or which might be a challenging environment? I just want to give our listeners a sampling of how you have some nice practical advice in your book as well.
Well, I think it is important to have to realize that organizations, companies, corporations, businesses, schools, et cetera, all of them also, in a sense, have a mission or a purpose. And so it's appropriate to regularly be asking, does my sense of vocation dovetail with that of the organization? And sometimes they'll decide for me and release me because they can't afford me or they don't think I fit anymore. But sometimes we make the calling when we're able to. We are able to, you know, we say, you know, I don't fit here anymore. The organization has changed. The circumstances have changed. It's time for me to move on and embrace an organization or a company that is more congruent with my values, my sense of call, my sense of purpose. I think also we realize that we can't function in organizations unless we learn mutual interdependence. We're not lone rangers. We can't do this interview were it not for the sound people, for example. We're deeply dependent upon them, the recorders. And that applies to every vocation. Every calling is fulfilled in profound interdependence upon others. And organizations or institutions, that's all they are. is a collection of individuals who live in interdependence to fulfill a common end or goal. And if we can't learn to listen, if we can't learn to live in interdependence upon others, likely we won't fulfill our vocations. As a writer, I'm dependent upon editors who are dependent upon printers, who are dependent on publishers, and so on. And we all do our work in a deep collaborative mode, and there's no
Absolutely.
Other way to do it. So part of working in organizations is learning how to work with others.
Thank you, Gordon. Well, we're going to need to draw this to a close, unfortunately, but how may people contact you?
Well, I have a website, gordontsmith.com, and one of the things they can do is drop me notes. I welcome interaction, opportunities for conversation and reflection on vocation, work, and career. But let me also mention that many of your listeners likely have read Courage and Calling, or at least I hope they will, and I would welcome comments and suggestions for revision. With the publisher, I've agreed that I'm going to put out a revised, updated version of that book, and I would welcome comments or suggestions for revisions, ideas from your hearers. And on the website, gordontsmith.com, it's quite clear where they can submit those suggestions.
Terrific. Well, thank you, Gordon, so much for being with us today, and thank you, listeners, for being a part of this very meaningful conversation. I invite you to visit my website at joryfisher.com and to visit Gordon's website at gordontsmith.com. Would you please email me at jory@joryfishercoaching.com if you'd like to discuss how you can partner with me to discern your divine calling. Please tell your friends about Voice America Variety and come back next week to listen to Shane Phillips discuss his rise from absolute devastation to sweet and abundant success. May you have a blessed and purposeful week, and may you discern who God has called you to be and the work he has called you to do. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on Heart and Soul, Reflections on Passion, Purpose, and Perseverance. We look forward to having you back next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, when host Jory Fisher brings you another inspiring show. We'll see you then.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.